Good morning, everyone. I am Priscilla. I'm an H2O member. I go to Tuesday Life Groups. Shout out to y'all. Today, we're going to be reading 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of on my hands. For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in the suffering, in suffering for the gospel by the power of God.
Thanks, Priscilla. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? Hopefully you guys have had a good weekend. I know I did. I really enjoyed being at Fall Getaway with whoever joined us for that retreat, just getting away to get some alone time with the Lord and really push one another closer to God for the weekend. It was good. So my name is Kyle. I'm one of the pastors here at H2O. And so this week, we're actually in week 5 of our sermon series called Extraordinary. Okay, Extraordinary. This is where we're going through really all the different ways that that a follower or disciple of Jesus should have an extraordinary life, right? And so something that's different about their life, not the norm, atypical maybe. And this isn't because like we're, I don't know, as Christians we're such good people or so great, but it's because God is so good and has done a work inside of us. And so last week we spent time talking about extraordinary love. And how if you are a follower or a disciple of Jesus, you really ought to be known by your love for him and your love for other people. How the world often represents love is kind of a misrepresentation. And so we talked some about that and how there's a lot of mistakes in how people think about love. But for us, because we know God, how we love really should be extraordinary and unique and different. And so this week, we're actually digging into the idea of extraordinary power. That is that the life of a disciple should be one that's empowered by the Spirit of God, okay? The scriptures teach that if you are a follower of Jesus, when you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins to dwell inside of you, okay? And as a result, we're given a kind of power beyond our ordinary means. Now, this isn't like a superpower, right? Like, you don't get laser vision or, you know, super speed or something like that, right? The Spirit isn't going to let you read people's minds or teach you how to fly. But that doesn't mean that he isn't powerful, and certainly it doesn't mean that he isn't important. Endlessly, throughout the scriptures, we see that the Spirit is essential for Christian life. Essential. Jesus went as far as to say that it is better for us that the Spirit come and dwell in us than it would be for him to personally walk alongside us physically. Okay, this is what he said in John 16:7. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, it's talking about the Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So he's talking about, okay, when he's talking about his death and resurrection, right? He dies, he resurrects, he goes to ascend with the Father to live in heaven, right? And he's saying, listen, it's actually good for you that I leave you, because when I leave you, I'm going to send the Spirit. Think about that. Like, most of us would love to have Jesus walking alongside us, teaching us personally, physically, walking with us. But he knew that the Spirit coming and dwelling inside us is better for us. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to live the life that God designed for us. We need that. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to truly be a changed people. I mean, in the book of Ezekiel, God talks about giving us a new heart and a new spirit, replacing our heart of stone with a heart of flesh. We need more than just a mindset shift, okay? We need the fabric of our lives to change. And God's whole plan for you and for me is to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, While the Holy Spirit, this idea of the Holy Spirit, who he is honestly one of the more mysterious aspects of the Christian faith. While that's true, there's a lot of scripture about him to help us understand who he is and what he's doing. And so as we go through what it looks like to have extraordinary power, if you're a disciple of Jesus, I hope that really one of two things happens for you. I hope that either this is something that encourages you, because you as you're listening, you're like, okay, wow, I actually see the different ways in which the Spirit of God is working in my life, either recently or in the past. You're like, wow, okay, actually that has happened for me. That's really cool. So I hope that it encourages you, or I hope that it challenges you, because either you see that, hey, maybe this isn't something that's happening in my life. I know that I believe in Jesus, but I've really not experienced what I would say is the power of God in my life. I hope that that challenges you. I hope that challenges you to respond accordingly. Or even maybe you say, I don't see the power of God in my life at all either. And maybe that's because you haven't actually given your life to God. Right? I talked about this earlier. It's like, man, you don't receive the Holy Spirit until you place your faith in Jesus. And so I hope that one of those two things happens for you. You're either encouraged or challenged by what we're talking about today. And so today we're gonna go through four different ways that the Spirit of God empowers us. If you're a believer in Jesus, there are four different ways that the Spirit empowers us, four ways that we ought to have extraordinary power in our lives if we are disciples of Jesus. Now, there's a lot of ways that the Spirit actually does this, but we're talking about four this morning. So the first is this, the power to slay our sin. The power to slay our sin. Honestly, even the language there might sound a little bit like, I don't know, extreme or kind of metal, like punk rock or something like that to you, right? But I mean, this is language really that's coming from the scriptures. And so, and I know from being around the church long enough that even talking about this topic, the idea of slaying our sin, the idea of putting it to death, is likely to make some people feel uneasy. And here's why. Because for almost all of us, I would guess that the moment we gave our lives to Christ, we would have hoped that our sin would die then and there, right? The moment we gave our lives to Christ, most of us would have hoped that the sin in our lives would go away, right? Like it would vanish when we give our lives to Jesus. That's what we would hope. That all along, maybe it was a mindset problem. Like, oh, I wasn't really committed to Jesus before. Now I am. And so obviously all these bad things in my life that I struggle with or deal with, that should just disappear, right? Before I wasn't committed to Jesus, so it makes sense that I was struggling with sin. But now that I've given my life to Christ, surely that'll go away, right? And that's, I think for a lot of us, that was maybe a hope that we had when we gave our lives to Jesus. Here's something that Jesus said, though. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I would guess for most of you, and definitely for me, if you've been following Christ long enough, you've experienced that. You've experienced that in one way or another. I would guess if you've been following Jesus long enough, you've had serious doubts, disappointments, grief, and frustration over the fact that you still have sin in your life. You love God. You want to honor him, and yet you see these different areas in your life that's like, this is not matching up. This does not line up with what I believe. I mean, I had a friend a long time ago. This was, you know, right around the time that I gave my life to Jesus. He was telling me his story, and he, you know, he was a drug addict. And I'm not talking like, you know, smoking marijuana or something like that, like a hard drug addict, like was addicted to crack. And his story was like, yeah, man, I walked into church one day because a friend invited me. And he said, I don't know how else to describe it, but I just felt my addiction leave me. Right? And he hasn't smoked crack since then, right? And that's so cool. Like, praise God for that. Praise God for stories like that where it's just like, man, his power is just so clear in someone's life like that. But most of us, if we're honest, we wish that our struggles with sin was a lot like that. We wish that when we walked into church one day that all of our difficulties, all of our struggles with sin would just vanish and disappear. And we could praise God for that and we could go on our merry way. that God would wave his hand and they just disappear from our lives. But unfortunately, the reality is that for most of us, that has not happened. Okay? For most of us, that is not what has happened, and that's not what God has had in mind for you. And so the first thing I want you to know before we move forward about this kind of power that we have by the Spirit of God, if we want to follow Jesus, we are given the power to slay our sin. But the first thing I want you to know about this is that, hey, you're not alone if you struggle with sin. You're not alone in that. Jesus was the only sinless man. The examples in the Bible that we see of other disciples and followers and apostles of Jesus, even after Jesus resurrected and gave them his Spirit, just like we have, they also struggled with sin. You are not alone in that. And yet, God does not want you to stay in that place. Okay? God does not want you to stay in that place. And that is why, in this chapter in 2 Timothy, we see that Paul reminds him, he says in verse 7, "For the Spirit God gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Power, love, and self-discipline. Power, we're talking a lot about that in a lot of different aspects today. But the self-discipline portion, I suspect, is there specifically in regards to slaying our sin. The Spirit God gives us self-discipline. He gives us the ability and strength and power to say no to our flesh. This is what Romans 6 says about our old self. I think this should hopefully help bring to light where we're at. Romans 6, verses 17 and 18. "But thanks be to God that you used to be slaves to sin. You have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that now has claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." Okay, the Bible is teaching us that before we came to know Christ, before we received the Spirit of God, we were slaves to sin. We don't like to think about it that way, but that's what the Bible teaches us. That the deep-rooted problems of our sin would remain no matter what we do. Even if we have mustered up the motivation and self-discipline to modify our behavior in a manner that we like, the root issue of a sinful and selfish heart would remain and manifest itself in other ways. We were slaves to sin, unable to escape it. But when we give our lives to Christ, the Spirit breaks those chains of enslavement. And so the power of sin is no longer on us in the same way if we're followers of Jesus. This is what the scriptures teach. But here is the kicker. You can be free from sin in Christ and still act like a slave. Okay? You can be free from sin in Christ and still act like you're a slave to it. I mean, imagine that you're imprisoned. You're literally in prison. And when you come to faith in Jesus, it's like he unlocks the prison cell. He unlocks your shackles. You're free to go. He'll even show you the way out. But for so many of us, the way we live, it's like we choose to remain in the cell. You don't have to, but you choose to. And by the way, I'm right there with you. There's nothing binding us there anymore, nothing keeping us there, but we stay. And so I'm here to tell you that if you're in Christ, you do not have to live like you're still enslaved to sin. Jesus has broken the chains, and the Spirit can and is able to empower you to slay your sin. Here's what Romans 8 says. Romans 8, verses 13 through 15. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again." Okay? So this idea of like, hey, he's talking about by the Spirit, if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, the sins of your flesh, you will live. And so here's what we've got. Upon salvation, this is kind of, I'm just going to lay kind of it out for you. Upon salvation, we're no longer slaves to sin. We are not bound to it the same way that we used to be. The Spirit then can empower us to live a godly lifestyle and put our sin to death. That power is available to us, but we have to take hold of it. We have a responsibility. Like if we want to see these things in our lives pass away and perish, we have a responsibility and we have to participate alongside the Spirit, right? He says, by the Spirit, you put to death the sins of the flesh. We have the power to slay our sin, okay? And before we go on to kind of the other ways that the Spirit empowers us, I just want to say, and this applies to all of these things, it is so important that we cling to these promises as truth. As truth. The Bible declares that we have the power to slay our sin, to put it to death. But you might not feel like you do. You understand? You might not feel like you have that power. But if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've received the Holy Spirit by placing your faith in Christ, you do. And that alone is half the battle. You will never slay your sin if you don't actually believe that you can. You never will put it to death if you don't think that you actually have the ability to do that. You'll stop trying, but you do have the power to do that. That's what the scriptures teach. By the Spirit, you do. And so I just want to make that clear. As we're going into these things, you're going to have the temptation to say, I don't know if that's actually there for me. And if you have genuinely placed your faith in Jesus, I just want to tell you, you do. You are able to do that. So that's the first way that the Spirit empowers us. The first way that we are have extraordinary power in our lives by the Spirit is that we have the power to slay our sin. The second way is this. We have the power to endure. We have the power to endure. The Spirit, the second way the Spirit empowers, he empowers us to endure. Verse 8 in the 2 Timothy passage that we kind of are anchored in today, he says, rather join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Which, what a crazy sentence that is, by the way. I don't know. I read that and I'm like, I don't know if that is something I want to be empowered to do, is to suffer for God, okay? But I just want to say, Paul, he's not a masochist, okay? He doesn't like enjoy suffering in its own right. He's not like, yeah, bring on the suffering. That sounds sick to me, okay? That's not where he's at. But I think he sees how God has used his suffering for the kingdom, and that brings him joy. And regardless of that, he's inviting Timothy to join him in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Now, this is a specific kind of difficulty, right? Suffering for the gospel. It's not the same as suffering all kinds of other different ways. But the secret to suffering at all, to enduring any kind of difficulty, any kind of suffering, it's not that you muster up some strength or courage and just get through it, just power through. He always comes back to relying on God's strength, God's power instead. Here's what Romans 5 says, starting in verse 3. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, endurance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is to say that no matter what season we're in or what difficulty we face, we can know that God, the Lord, is going to use it to produce something in us. And by his Spirit, we have the power to make it through. We have the power to endure. And you know, that's really good news. It's really good news because, I mean, if you know me well enough, you know that I probably lean a little bit more pessimistic, okay? I'm a little more on the negative side, right? Like, some people are like, you know, the eternal optimist. That's probably better and more healthy for you if you're the case. But I lean a little bit more pessimistic. And so I don't want to be that way. And I don't want to be super dramatic because I know that, okay, relatively speaking, my life, not that hard, okay? My life is not that difficult. It could be a lot worse for me, like a lot worse. But if I'm just being honest, there are some days that I'm just like, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Okay, I don't know if I'm going to make it through. Ministry, hard, right? Work, been difficult. Relationships, hard. Being a new parent, that's hard. Family, difficult for me. The list goes on and on. And I know I'm not the only one. And yet, when I stop and pray and meditate on the truth, just, okay, God, he's not abandoned me. Right? He's not forsaken me. He's with me. He's using my difficulty for my own good and the good of the kingdom and for his glory. Where I'm weak, he's strong. And I know that he's seeing me through. I know that he can help me endure. And when I look back at whatever difficulty I face and see where I'm at now, it's like, wow, God did bring me through that. He did help me to endure. I'm not sinking, okay? It's good. The Spirit empowers us to endure. And no matter what we need to endure, he can get us there. Okay? We have the power to slay our sin. We have the power to endure. The third thing is this. We have the power to witness. We have the power to witness. This is verse 7, again, in our kind of anchor passage in 2 Timothy. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. Some of your translations might say, the Spirit God gave us is not a spirit of fear. Acts 4:31 says this. This is like the early church. After they prayed, the place they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Like, this is a natural progression. They're filled with the Spirit, so they spoke the word of God boldly. Okay, so here's the reality. The Bible, it teaches us that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. Okay, all of us. Every single human being is in that spot. It's not just like that person's a sinner. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. This is what the Bible teaches. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And we deserve judgment for that. That's what the scriptures teach. But that Jesus came and lived a perfect life and died in our place so that we could be made right with God again if we trust in his life, death, and resurrection. But in addition to that, I talked about this last week. The Bible teaches that Jesus is the only way to get right with God. The only way. There's no other path, no other religion, no other philosophy, no amount of good works or good deeds will get you there. Will get you right with God. You need the perfection of Jesus. If you're a follower of Christ, this is what you believe. But for many of you, you believe that and you understand that those around you don't know that or don't believe that. And you understand that they need to know Jesus. And yet, for so many Christians, they are not sharing this. They're not talking with their friends about this. And why is that? The number one reason, fear. It's fear. Fear of rejection. Fear of saying the wrong thing, maybe. Fear of not knowing all the answers. Fear of how they'll respond. Right? Fear of what they'll think of you. Fear of them thinking that you're a bigot or something. But here in the Bible, we see that the Spirit of God that's inside of us is not a spirit of fear. Okay, if we believe in Jesus, we've been given the Holy Spirit, and that is not a spirit of fear. It's not a spirit of timidity, but it's a spirit of power. And this tells us something very important. Listen, if we are being led by our fears, we are being led by our flesh, not the Spirit. And I think for most of you, if you love Jesus, if you know him, that is not what you want. Sincerely, I believe that in your heart, that's not what you want. But if you're being led by your fears, you're being led by your flesh, not the Spirit of God. And listen, I know, sharing the message of Jesus, talking to people about faith, that's a scary thing. I get that, especially if you've never done it. You're probably not going to be a master at that right away, okay? Probably. But Jesus doesn't need a master of evangelism to save souls. He just needs somebody willing to step out in faith by the power of his Spirit and try. We're empowered to witness, okay? So empowered to slay our sin, empowered to endure, empowered to witness. This is the last thing that we're going to go over. We have the power to resurrect, okay? We have the power to resurrect. I love this verse, Romans 8:11. I love this verse. It says this, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. This is, frankly, this is the most insane truth if you sit and think about it long enough. Like, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in me. If what the scriptures say are true, that same Spirit that literally raised Jesus from the dead is living in me and in you if you believe in Jesus. The implications of this are massive. They're absolutely massive. So if you've been sitting here and you felt unsure, like, I don't know if the Spirit of God, is enough to grant me this kind of power. I've seen the ways that I've struggled with sin, Kyle. I don't know if I have the power to slay that. I've seen the different things going on in my life. Every day I wonder if I'm going to make it through. You know, like, I don't know if I have the power to endure. Okay, I've tried to talk to my friends before. It went terribly. I don't know if I have the power to witness like you're talking about. But if this is true, like maybe you think, okay, yeah, the Spirit, you know, maybe he's been able to do crazy things in the lives of these people in the Bible, but I don't think that's possible for me. And yet here in Romans 8, we see that the very same Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that lives inside of you if you're a believer. I think that that should give us credence to the fact that maybe there's some power inside of you, okay? Maybe there is something there. If that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that lives in me, my sin doesn't stand a chance. Doesn't stand a chance. He is way stronger than that. If the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the Spirit that lives in me, he can empower me to endure even the hardest trials. If the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that lives in me, certainly he can give me the boldness and courage to tell others about my Savior. And if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me, then he can raise me to life too. He can raise me to life too. And I'm not just talking about living in heaven for all eternity with Jesus, although that's true. That is a part of what it means to have the power to resurrect. Okay? That's what the scriptures teach, like, hey, if you believe in Jesus, you will live forever with him someday, okay? But here in this scripture, I think it's primarily actually talking about the abundant life that the Spirit, only the Spirit of God can give us. We talk about this a lot in our church, and that's because the Bible talks about it a lot. The very first week of the year, we went over John 4. We talked about the living water that quenches the deepest spiritual thirst. That's what this is talking about. The life that the Spirit gives, the resurrected life here on earth. The verse that anchors this sermon series, it's in John 10:10. You can throw it up on the screen here. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This kind of abundant life is only available because of the Spirit living inside of you, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He is also able to bring your mortal bodies to life. And the life, this is talking about some called eternal life, but that is a life that begins here on earth. You can have abundant life here on earth, and it lasts forever, okay? The Spirit is the one that grants that to us. The Spirit is the one that gives us that kind of power. And so look, there are lots of ways, actually, beyond even what we just talked about today, that we should have powerful lives. I haven't even talked about like things like spiritual gifts and, you know, whatever else like that. I encourage you to dig into that if that's something that interests you. But if we are followers of Jesus, we have an extraordinary power in us. Power that is unique to people that follow Jesus and people that, again, you only have the Holy Spirit inside of you if you've placed your faith in Christ. It's unique to us. And really, my hope is that for our church and for me, for you, that we would live lives that have a kind of extraordinary power, that people see our lives and they're like, there is something different there. I don't know what it is, but there's something going on there in that person's life. Okay? And so, I don't know. I'm just going to pray. I pray that for all of us that would be something we experience. We experience the extraordinary power that comes from the Lord and only from the Lord. So let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given us not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-discipline. And God, I just pray that we would be people that live like that's true. God, we know that's available to us. That's what we've just read. We know that we can have that in our lives, but we also see that we have to cooperate with you if we want to see it. We have to, you know, putting to death our sin is something that we have to do alongside you. That power is available to us, but I know that so many of us, myself included, don't always grab hold of it. And so, God, I just pray that we would be people that do, that we would see all the ways that you've given us power. to live abundant lives. And so, God, you're so kind to us. You're so good to us. We love you, and we pray all this in your name. Amen.